notice of this meeting that's given. In accordance with the Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and a notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Huntington Review, and the Star Ledger, no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Kilduff?
Absent. Mine.
Ms. Kleinhans? Mr. Mardini?
Yeah.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Scheich?
Here.
And Mr. Semay?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm on a 7-game winning streak.
We have some meeting minutes this evening. Those were issued by Denise. First one up is the minutes of April 2nd, 2018. You see the eligible numbers. Any questions or comments on those minutes? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes of April 2nd, 2018?
Motion.
Second. Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries. And just one change, Mr. Chairman. On the June 4th minutes, I have you listed as eligible, but you are not, because you had abstained from one of the applications.
Good. I'm ineligible. But I can still discuss it here. I can tee it up, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So the minutes of June 4th, 2018, you see the eligibility excluding me. Are there any questions or comments or concerns with those minutes? If not, is there a motion?
By either
so moved.
Higgins, Kleinhans, Mardini, or Pfeffer?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Pfeffer. Thank you, Mayor. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
And Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Okay. Next up is Master Plan Consistency Reviews. We've got three ordinances, correct? Yes. I see we do have some folks from the public.
Mm-hmm. Residents of Beaverbrook.
This is the typical process for this is it's a public meeting. We review.
Right. This is a master plan consistency review. This is not a hearing on the ordinance. So it's open to the public. But there's no hearing, the public doesn't have the right to even ask questions or make comments unless you can let them if you want.
Right, and this is not tied to specific projects. This is the ordinance creating the standards for the zone.
That's correct. It's not an application for development, and it's to determine whether or not the ordinance is consistent or inconsistent with the master plan, which in this case would be the housing plan element and the fair share plan element of the master plan.
Why don't we go through them, and if you, you know, perhaps if there's a question at the end, you know, we'll see if we can answer something.
And also, I guess you could do the master plan consistency. Let's do each one because there are some recommendations. The Affordable Housing Subcommittee met before this meeting, so Tom and I took notes. So we are going to recommend a couple changes to these ordinances that, in our opinion, are insubstantial. We'll run this by the township attorney, obviously. But they've been introduced, and we believe that a couple little fine-tuning, non-substantial changes should be made to the ordinances before the hearing on their adoption.
Right. So, these ordinances are introduced and approved by the governing body.
On first reading. They come here for a master plan consistency.
And they go back.
And they go back on September 12th, there'll be a public hearing where then the township planner will be put under oath. And he'll testify, and the public has the right to question him and make comments on it and everything. But again, maybe you can get an early indication of what some of the comments are by allowing it tonight.
Okay. So let's do them in order here. The first one is ordinance number 1120-18. And this one...
And maybe ask Tom, because the way these are set up, you have the mother ordinance... And then you have exhibits to the ordinance. The mother ordinance creates the zones, and then the exhibits create the bulk regulations for each of the zones.
Right. So and this first one does the AH6 and the AH7 districts, right?
Yeah.
So you want to give us a little, Tom?
Yeah, what is the AH6 and what is the AH7 in plain English?
There's zones being created to provide affordable housing.
Right, but I mean, which site does AH...
Oh, AH6 refers to the 108 Alton Place site, and the AH7 site refers to the CIS LeCompte property on Route 31, to be more specific. So I guess starting with the AH6, again, it is the site located at 108 Alton Place. What's been proposed and discussed both at the council level and planning board is a 140-unit development with a 20% set-aside, which yields 28 low- and moderate-income units, or affordable units, and yields a density of approximately 8.7 units per acre, which is consistent, and in some cases slightly less, to the surrounding development in the area. And the entire goal was to be, it's sort of this hole in between two existing townhouse developments, and the idea was that this was an area of the community that has been developed. There was... the possibility to connect to existing infrastructure. We were looking at densities and unit types that would fit right in with what already exists. So it just seemed to be a natural location in lieu of alternative sites.
And by the way, what alternative sites was that in lieu of?
There was the golf club property, the golf course property itself, which the developer wanted to take, I think it was either 9 or 11 holes, so a substantial portion of the course itself. So this seemed to be to pose a better alternative and that it was, obviously not taking away those holes and the recreation amenity open to the public, but, would take up less land and, again, fit in this sort of existing pocket that was being underutilized and it just sort of seemed to be a natural fit. Beyond that, the unit types are townhouses and multifamily. We anticipate that the affordable units will be delivered in the multifamily building with some additional market rate units, while the remainder will be townhouses. The exact numbers may fluctuate a little bit in terms of those unit types, and the one existing single family home on the property will also remain. Other than that, it's fairly straightforward. The concept does include a central green recreation amenity that we've tried to include in all of these affordable housing projects.
And is that development and the regulations as proposed in the ordinance, in your opinion, consistent with the housing element and the fair share plan that this board adopted?
It's almost identical. Actually, I think the actual concept is included in the housing plan, which the ordinance stipulates that the ultimate proposal must be consistent with that concept. And the planning board actually adopted an amendment to the master plan, which also talks about this density and development type. So it is very much consistent to what has been discussed and approved by the township thus far.
Because I know that in past ordinance consistency reviews, the statute says that the board has to make a finding of whether the ordinance is not inconsistent with the master plan. Occasionally, they have found that actually an ordinance is entirely consistent. In your opinion, is this ordinance not inconsistent, or is it entirely consistent?
Entirely consistent. It's beyond inconsistent.
Correct.
Okay. That's the AH6 part of Ordinance 1120-18. What about the AH7?
The AH7.
Mentioned there might be some changes or minor. Would you be doing that at this stage in that? Or
Oh, yes. Oh, no. These changes would be made before the public hearing.
Okay.
Okay, actually, why don't we talked about one change to the 108 Alton Place, and we think it's like a little bit of an unintended loophole that's in there that we want to...
In terms of capping the heights of the multifamily buildings, just to ensure that they remain under the desired maximum heights of... really, it's 60% of the multifamily building should be 45 feet or less, and the remainder should be 40 feet or less.
Yeah,
generally.
And that was the intent. The wording doesn't have the or less.
Yeah.
And so it could be read by someone who might want to read it that way. We don't know anyone who would want to read it in the way it wasn't intended for, but it could be read as a minimum instead of a maximum, which we don't want to have that situation occur.
To clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think you have some question.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So can you come up to the table and identify
can.
Yourself for the record?
Yeah, Jenna Goodman, resident of Beaverbrook. We're in Northgate West.
And what's your address?
7 Greenbrier Lane. Sir, may I ask you, has a traffic study been done?
Not to my knowledge of this.
This at this point, it's not the application.
Okay.
So there would be nothing to base a study on. This is just changing the zone requirements. And then it would be a discussion on the
correct.
Specific...
A suitability analysis was done by Tom's office, correct me if I'm wrong, and one of the factors in suitability is whether or not the site is adjacent to appropriate streets. And you guys concluded that it was, correct?
Well, we did a fit-out analysis basically using the adjacent sites as a model to see if it would even work in the first place. It turned out that it did, and then the developer took that information... refine the concept, and that's the concept that...
Yeah. Have you seen the concept?
No, I haven't.
This is page 60 of the Housing Element and Fair Share Plan, which was adopted May 7, 2018.
May I take
it?
Would this be better? Yeah, let's make sure it's the same one.
Grab it and pass it around.
Can I see that before you take it, just to make sure it's the same one in here?
And that is what I was telling you before, that all that is on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy.
That's the latest iteration.
Yep.
The latest iteration is 35 and a half.
Let's try to... So you folks came in a little late. The process here today is not an open forum. In fact, it's a public meeting. I'm just repeating. The public really isn't required or part of the conversation. I'm okay having a little bit of discussion, but if we do, we got to control it like we normally do. One at a time, name, address...
Yeah, just so you know, the ordinance that was introduced by the township committee has the 40-foot height in it, not the 35-foot height. A change was made before introduction to all the affordable housing ordinances to make them consistent so that one site couldn't argue that someone else got better treatment. So it's 40-foot max across the board for townhouses.
In all of these?
In all of these. Even the ones we haven't discussed yet tonight.
Right.
You can keep that if you want.
May I?
Yeah. Again, that's a blow-up of the concept plans from page 60 of the Housing Element and Fair Share Plan. And again, what their job is tonight is to... Yeah, I gave your...
That's all right, John. I'll get another copy.
Yeah. I figured it was okay. What the board's job is tonight is not to question the wisdom of the ordinance. It is to take the ordinance and judge it against the housing plan element and fair share plan and determine whether or not it's consistent with it. And what the board's planner has just rendered an opinion that it's entirely consistent with it.
Right.
Back to this, especially for some of you who just came, the ordinance, introducing and approving an ordinance is something that town councils do, governing bodies, not planning boards. We are just, a part of that process is once they introduce it, because it deals with land use, it has to come here for us to say it's not inconsistent with the plan, and that's kind of what we're doing. It's like a technical step in the process.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally an ordinance will come in and there's nothing in the master plan, either yay or nay, about it. And so then they have to make a decision on, okay, it wasn't specifically mentioned, but is it inconsistent, with the spirit of the master plan or not? This ordinance is specifically called out in the master plan. This is like a no-brainer for them to say that this ordinance is anything but entirely consistent would be, the board member may have taken like Valium or something before the meeting, because, I mean, if
but then just to help the process then is it goes back to the town council, who then makes the vote on it.
Yeah, by the way, and that's a public hearing on 10 days notice, where people can not only ask questions of Tom, who will then be under oath, but also can make their comments, whether they like it, they don't like it, and question this and question that.
And that's the September 12th meeting.
That's correct.
That's here in this building?
In the same place, same thing, 7 o'clock.
Same place.
What you're getting is a preview, because the chairman said, you know what, well, let's allow a couple questions. So what you guys missed was Tom's preview. Can you restate, there was another project that was proposed in this area. Well, let's take a step backwards.
Why don't we just look, we're going to go through it, but I think it's, I kind of rather share a little more than not. Yeah. Let's just talk about the whole situation.
The affordable housing process.
I'll go first a little bit, but stop me, because I've lived it long enough that, you know, it's been going on for 20 or 30 years. It's been kicked around. It's been called COA. It's been, the can has been down the road. You know, the former governor said he was going to get rid of it. Nothing happened. It's still here. It's in our state constitution.
Well, the Supreme Court interpreted our state constitution as saying it was a state equal protection protected right, and that's why.
Right.
But
so,
if you read the Constitution, you won't see anything in it about affordable housing.
Thank you. He keeps me a little honest. So I'm just trying to put it in my lay terms. It has now been sent to the courts. So right now, in every county, a judge with a planning special master is basically just deciding. What it's really turned the whole, it's sped the process up, but basically any developer who comes in with a potential site can petition in front of that group to say, put me in, coach. Mm-hmm. So what towns have done...
Yeah, and by the way, there's a provision in the Fair Housing Act, which, and you can Google this, it's NJSA 52:27D-310, subparagraph F, as in Frank. And that provision says that if a developer comes to a town and says, I have a site and I promise that if you rezone it, that we'll have 20% affordable housing, the town doesn't have to accept it, but the town has to consider it in the housing element and master plan. So if you look in this housing element and master plan, you'll see every developer that came forward with a site was considered. They rejected some, and they accepted some. And what I think Kevin is building up to is that these, you get assigned a number, a fair share number, your fair share of the region's need for affordable housing units. Now, when COA, the Council on Affordable Housing, was properly doing its job and functioning, they had a formula, and they figured out what the numbers were. And this whole thing started in court in 1975, Mount Laurel 1, 1983, Mount Laurel 2. Fair Housing Act adopted in 1985, upheld in 1986, creating COA. COA's numbers were more reasonable than the court's numbers. But then COA stopped doing what it was supposed to do, and the New Jersey Supreme Court said, okay, this is going back to court. Most of the, they're called rounds, affordable housing rounds, they started at 6 years and they became 10 years. Well, the problem is the last round that COA was functioning was 1999. In 2015, when all these things went back to court, instead of a 10-year period going by, a 25-year period had passed. So the numbers for this third round are not based on 10 years of affordable housing need. It's based on 25 years. So the Fair Share Housing Center, which was the primary mover, actually they brought the litigation that went up to the Supreme Court that got COA sidelined. They had an expert, and they had outrageously high numbers. And then the municipalities had an expert who, not surprisingly, had much lower numbers. So the fair shares numbers were way out there. The municipalities expert's number was much lower. And some, there were some settlements, but then there were two trials. There was an actual trial on what the number would be in Middlesex County, which didn't go too well for municipalities. But then there was a trial in Mercer County in front of Judge Jacobson. And that trial, for a lot of municipalities, the number was okay. Actually, for Clinton, the number wasn't okay. But we were very fortunate. We had settled our case with Fair Share Housing Center before Judge Jacobson's ruling came out. So our settlement number with Fair Share was
337.
337 was the number of portable units that Clinton had to zone for. Judge Jacobson's number was 551. So all I can say is thank goodness the township settled. But to settle with Fair Share, it's not simply, okay, we're going to settle, here's our number. To get the settlement with Fair Share, you then have to put a plan together, and you have to provide for providing the realistic opportunity to produce that number of housing. So that's why, in Clinton's case, they have a 337 number, plus they have a prior round obligation when the prior council, and I don't mean any disrespect to them, they weren't as, let's say...
They didn't move forward...
The whole process was...
They sat back instead of moving forward. So this council, this is the planning board, but this mayor and council has moved forward, settled their case, and now they had to pick a bunch of sites to produce the housing. So they tried to spread it around.
Yeah, some of those sites that were put up there, and again, if we didn't settle the town, the judge would have done it for us.
Well, it's even worse than that. If they didn't settle, okay,
the number would be higher, and you would.
The number would not only be higher, because if they tried the case, Judge Jacobson had a special numbers master, a guy named Richard Redding. Judge Miller, the Mount Laurel judge for Hunterdon, Warren, and Somerset counties, also had Richard Redding. So it's more likely than not that if this case had been tried, not only would Clinton's number not be 337, it would probably be 551, but if they didn't come up with a voluntary plan to provide for their number, then they would have been exposed to this thing called the builder's remedy, where a builder can come in and say, tell you what, you guys aren't voluntarily taking care of your responsibility and your obligation, we'll do it for you. How are they going to do it? The township has elected, they have 300% affordable housing projects. Okay, three of them, which is just affordable housing. They have two projects, which are called inclusionary projects. One of them is 108 Alton Place, where you rezone the place for five times the amount of affordable housing that you need to give the developer an incentive in the money to then produce the housing for you. If you have a municipally 100% project, the municipality is on the hook. They got to pay for it. If they can't find a developer to build it and apply for tax credits for it. And Clinton Township was one of under, I'd say, a dozen, might even be under six municipalities in the state of New Jersey that has 300% projects. Generally, Fair Share will allow a municipality to have one. Some others they'll allow to have two. In Clinton, they allow them to have 300% projects, which is very fortunate, because if you didn't have the 300% projects, you'd even have more inclusionary development. So that's the background. That's like the big picture of what the plan is.
Right, and so then where it got us to here, just to give a little, we got developers who came and pitched projects. And for example, one of them was this person or this group, the golf course, wanted to basically take half of the golf course,
right,
and make it into housing units and get rid of the holes. That was viewed as not desirable. There were some other ones with some big density in some bad areas. So the governing body, the town, tried to pick a best
a best case scenario and a worst case situation. I mean, let's call it what it is.
And I can do a little bit of my pitch or my spiel. I think we all see we've had about a handful of single family housing certificates of occupancy created, less than five, I think, since the housing crisis.
Correct.
So there are no, there's not a big demand out here. I look at my house, our houses, and I don't see it. This is not an area, I'm going off script a little bit, that is crying out for people moving in. Mm-hmm. This is the state forcing development in upon us, and we really can't say we don't have a demand for it. We don't have a demand for this, in my opinion. But I reckon it to that Alice's Restaurant song with, the judge ain't gonna look at those 8x10 color garage glossies. We could go in there and say, judge, nobody wants to buy these. No one, they don't care.
So put it this way, you have some 100% affordable housing developers who, if you ask them, those affordable units, according to them, they're gonna rent and or, you know, sell. And so the proof's gonna be in the pudding because they could be right. Maybe there's an underserved market for affordable housing. I mean, there are companies that are developing the 100% sites.
Committed.
They obviously, and that's what they're in the business of doing.
At the end of the day, they're putting their money to invest in
right.
it. They think they can make it work, but I think we get down to this. We don't have much alternative with the state and with the judges. We're trying to craft the best
alternative. I put it this way.
Alternative
right.
We can.
So the township council had to look at the township as a whole. I understand that, you know, if it has come down into your neighborhood, and I don't want to, I'm not casting dispersions that you're a NIMBY and not in my backyard, but certain people have these big developers basically in their backyard, and other people don't. But the town, the mayor and the township council think that what they did is the best overall for the township, even though, obviously, wherever these projects wound up, you have people that are not happy about it. And I don't know what else to say about it other than that.
I think that gives you a little flavor of, again, we're just the planning board here trying to check these ordinances for consistency.
Right.
But that... we're part of it because it has the land use planning element of it, and ultimately it goes back to the governing body. The 12th is the night if you want to go talk to them. Ultimately, if that passes and is enacted and these projects come forward, they will have to come in front of the planning board for a typical planning board application.
And just for the record, the first 100% project, Ingerman, Willows at
Annandale.
They came in to the planning board for preliminary site plan approval, which the planning board granted, and for final site plan approval. And they figure that project's going to be under construction when?
September.
Yeah. And that's the one at the old Beaverbrook homestead on Beaver Avenue there.
Right.
I sort of look at the projects as a portfolio. We've got 300 percenters that where the township has financial risk. One of them, the one on Beaver Avenue, cleans up a parcel in Annandale that's been a mess for a long time. It restores the old mansion, and we end up with a nice compact footprint. That one qualifies for very favorable financing. The next two 100% projects, the Marukian project, which John mentioned just a couple minutes ago, we're at financial risk for. That's got preliminary approval. Financing has been applied for. We're hoping we get the proper financing. There's a very significant multi-million dollar difference between the competitive financing and the non-competitive. And that's why, one of the reasons why we have a blend of 80-20 kind of projects and 100%. We didn't want to have everything at risk financially from a township perspective. These two projects, there's one on Marukian, which is south of the high school. It's a 6-acre park pocket within about 220 acres of reserved land. Not close to anybody, very compact. The other 100% project's on the other side of the highway, immediately south of this building. And That'll be an 8.5 to 10 acre parcel on a 40 acre piece of land. And again, no nearby neighbors, no impact on anybody. The other two projects, the financial risk of these inclusionary 80-20, or in Big One's case, 26% set aside, there's no financial risk to the township. That's all on the developer. So that's the benefit, if you will, to the township.
That's the benefit of zoning for five times the amount of affordable housing that you need. They're not on the hook if it doesn't get developed.
Now, one of those projects, the Headley Farm project, is 400 units, 104 of which are affordable. That's going on 150 acres with the prison as a neighbor, cornfields. And on, I would say, 2.5 sides, there's some neighborhood adjacencies, but they're pretty far back, quite far back from the developed area. So there's some folks that are going to be looking, there's a few houses, two or three up high on the hill, that have been looking down on this development. But I think the visual impacts to the neighbors are going to be very small. And there's also no vehicular access through the village.
Yeah, so talk about 108 Alton, the last one.
I'm getting at that one. That's the one that has the impacts that you're concerned about.
Right.
That parcel is going to be developed anyway. That parcel, there's a gentleman who participated in building the hills at Bedminster and also the presidential towers there at the interchange on Cokesbury Road and Route 78. Very litigious fellow. He and some partners are the actual developers. So one way or the other, they're going to build something on that land. And we needed, as responsible elected officials or appointed officials, needed to ensure that the township got as much benefit out of that as we could. So you can look at the picture there of the site. On the north side, I'll back up, it's about 16.7 acres. On the north side of the parcel, there's about 2.14 acres that encumbered that can't be built on because we opted to go into the highlands.
And you see that? That's a treed area on the right-hand side of your...
Yeah, right up on the Alton Place side, the north side. And on the south side, most people don't know this, there's a 1.12 acre lot owned by...
Mary?
No, this is a one. This is a buffer on the south side now.
Oh.
The parcel and Country Club Lane. So that's 50 feet wide. It's 1.12 acres, something like that. So built into the south side, we've got another bumper that, again, sets it apart. You know, it's a bigger buffer than some of the other developments have. The other concern we had was the density of the parcel. So we've bargained, argued, feuded with these folks who they wanted to put at one point 400 units on there, which is crazy.
Right.
So the resulting density is equal to just a little bit below the density in terms of units per acre that is presently the case on the Clinton Town side. It's more dense than the next one over on the Clinton Township side. The
one in the Beaverbrook.
Right,
Fairways. Okay. I don't know the name of it.
Yeah,
the Fairways.
Clinton Township. Clinton Township. Alton Place is Clinton.
Yeah.
The next one east is less dense. Mm-hmm. The one to the west in Clinton Town is just a little bit more dense. I would call it almost a break even. And again, two-story buildings, 2.5-story buildings, with the exception of the apartments, basically, the two buildings associated with the affordable. The others are townhouses. And we'll have the same height. The developer, of course, wanted to go another story taller, and we said, forget it. Mm-hmm. There are no three-story townhouses in all of Beaverbrook, and we weren't going to give on that point. So we did our best to minimize the impacts. There, obviously, when you remove the trees and there's a bunch of townhouses in there, you've got some impacts. But we did our best because we knew that this particular development was more impactful to neighbors than the other four.
Nice.
We did our best to make sure the resulting construction would blend in as well as it could blend in to the rest of the Beaverbrook kind of a complex. So that's the story from my perspective. And by the way, it's going to be a long time before this thing actually anything happens. They've got to get utilities, both sewer and water. The township has acquired all of the free sewage capacity available. There is some
for the township's 100% project.
Correct. We stepped forward and did that very quickly. So this developer is going to have to purchase surge capacity at a significant price. There is, I think, enough available, just barely. Water is really, really tight. I don't know that there's enough water for it. So that's something that they have to go out and find and necessary.
Right. Again.
And that's up to them to go get.
Right.
And if it takes them time, that's their,
right.
That's
and
part
that, again,
of the process.
That's balancing. If you do 100% project, and you're financially on the hook, you got to get the sewer for it, you got to get the water for it, but it's 100% affordable units. You don't have that five times, you know, you don't have the 80 for 100 units. If you had 20 affordable units, you don't have the 80 market rate units. On the other hand, if you do an inclusionary development and you zone it for 100 units, where you're only getting 20 affordables out of it and you have 80 market, that's on the developer. They got to get their water, they got to get their sewer. They got to build it. They got to finance it.
And the roads, they have to.
And they have to do the roads too.
They have to do the roads.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
could I ask a question, Kevin?
Bill Glaser, 3500 Circle. I'm also Newbury. If the township were not to adopt these ordinances for whatever reason, that would.
That's
but,
a good question.
But that would be a problem with the settlement.
Oh, that would be they'd be in violation of the settlement agreement and fair share, like when they went to the Supreme Court on a motion in aid of litigants' rights and got COA, you know, whacked.
Right.
Fair share would go to Judge Miller for on the motion in aid of litigants' rights. Yeah, and they
go for the 500.
Oh yeah, whatever. Oh yes. Yeah.
What was the town? It's Ewing. Was it Ewing Township that backed out of the? Where the judges stepped in and said, not only are you going to build, first of all, your number's 3,000 units, but second of all, tell the planning board to stay home because my special master.
That was Cranford.
No.
It's Brunswick, wasn't it?
It's down on Route 78. Merrill Lynch's headquarters is there. I want to say Ewing Township, but it's.
It could be. But Cranford has a published appellate division case where the judge actually awarded a builder's remedy and said that the planning board's not processing the site plan application, appointed a special master to even process the site plan application. I mean, Clinton has been extraordinarily cooperative and is also trying to do the right thing, not only for the township, but is trying to live up to its obligations. If you have a recalcitrant municipality, you know, some residents might cheer them on, but that's going to wind up an unmitigated disaster.
So that just gives you a little flavor for what's behind all of this. And again, tonight's more of the dry technical us saying it's consistent with the master plan. But ultimately, you know, if you want to ask more questions, it's at the council meeting. And after that, supposing everything keeps going the way we probably envision it will. When the specific projects were to come here, because then they're a project and they've got to present, you know, all their studies, they've got to present testimony on traffic and testimony on all the stuff they do. You know, we can't turn around and say you can't build anything, but that's where we do have an input to try to make sure that all the elements work.
That's where the zoning comes into play. The zoning will be. Sets the requirements that any proposal have to meet,
have to talk about
and then the developer puts together that plan and goes to the planning board when they've got all the prerequisites like utilities available, and then the planning board votes on it.
So that's one half of Ordinance 1120-18. That's the AH6 zone that's applicable to 108 Alton Place.
So
we still need to hear from Tom.
Right, and then we can.
Then you can do consistency, and we can talk about making a
motion to do it right.
Yeah, to clear up that little loophole.
Yep.
Okay, so the AH7 zone that's being created is going to be placed on what is now currently known as the LeComp site, and CIS, the developer of the property, is negotiating to purchase 8.94 acres of the property to develop a 100% affordable project. And at this point, they're being approved for 90 units, townhouse units, to achieve this, which results in a density of approximately 9 to 10 units per acre. It's very much consistent with the Marukian project, which is across from Route 31. The benefit is that it has direct access to Route 31, so there's no issues in terms of, you know, adverse impacts to existing communities. It has a certain distance from existing environmental constraints. It has a good buffer that's, or a buffer that's been designed from Route 31, so as the development could be sort of not disguised but nestled into the landscape in a way that makes sense and won't stick out as a sore thumb, or like a sore thumb as you're, you know, going up and down the corridor. It's close to the high school. Again, it's across from the Marukian site, so it can be tied into the utilities, thereby reducing the cost and making the project feasible in general. It happens to be just a property that sort of came about at the 11th hour, and the township is lucky in that regard that they were able to get this third 100%.
A minor site. Correction.
Yeah.
It came up a second time.
A second time, excuse me.
Okay.
Well, there was one project or proposal a few years ago. Then they came back with a 100% affordable
right.
project, which made more sense and was actually feasible and was a better alternative and relieved development pressure elsewhere in the community. So it seemed like a logical fit for those reasons that I'd stated. And whereas the Marukian is township-owned property, the 6 acres being conveyed to the developer, this is a private deal, let's call it. So the township is sort of creating the zoning conditions and they're making it happen sort of on their own. So again, it's a logical development proposal. It makes a lot of sense. We're including things, as with all the other zones, in terms of requiring certain design elements, landscape buffers, and to make the developments as attractive as possible in keeping with the existing township character. So from that perspective, it is consistent with the housing plan and it's consistent with the land use plan amendment.
So I'm asking the same question. So in your opinion, the AH7 zone, is it entirely consistent with the master plan?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if the AH6 zone and the AH7 zone are entirely consistent, then it's your opinion that ordinance 1120-18 is entirely consistent with the master plan?
Yes.
Okay, now, when we met with the subcommittee,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what my notes are, but I'm not, you're going to tell me if this is correct or not.
Mm-hmm.
In between the initially drafted ordinance and the ordinances that were introduced, besides having a change in height on Alton Place from 35 to 40 for the townhouses, also basements were excluded from how you count stories, and the committee had recommended that all the affordable housing zones be have the same provision in it. So no one zone can say that someone was getting better treatment than them and there would be overall consistent treatment. So tonight the subcommittee said they had a diagram of what a basement looks like, and they said on the same theory that a basement shouldn't be counted towards a story, a cellar shouldn't be counted towards a story. So that recommendation, we're suggesting that the planning board put that recommendation for all the affordable housing ordinances that are being reviewed tonight, that cellars be excluded from how you count stories, just like basements are.
I was actually just going to say that, because we consider basements as more than 50% above grade, which is a strange requirement.
Right. And a cellar's even less.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, that's number one. Number two.
Tree caliper was reduced by half an inch.
But that's, I'm talking about, those were changes that were previously made.
Right.
That those are not changes that we're recommending be made tonight. Another change that we're recommending, again, when you do a consistency review, the statute says you determine whether it's consistent or not, and the planning board can make recommendations if it wants. It doesn't have to. The recommendations aren't binding, but Tom and I are suggesting that you make these recommendations. In the, we're not up to the AH8 yet, so I won't mention that one yet. In the AH6 zone, which is 108 Alton Place, there is apparently an unintended loophole where the language in proposed ordinance section 165-155.13P, as in Peter, states that no more than 60% of a building shall exceed a height of 3 stories or 45 feet, and no more than 40% of a building shall exceed a height of 3 stories or 40 feet. Now, this is not for the townhouses. This is for the apartment buildings for the affordable housing. The language would technically permit a building with 60% at 5 stories or more. It was never intended for that. It was intended to be, you know, two exceptions with a cap, and it could be interpreted that way. So we're recommending that the board recommend that Tom close this loophole in the ordinance. So I guess what Tom and I are hoping is that someone makes a motion to deem ordinance number 1120-18 as entirely consistent with the master plan, with two ordinance change recommendations. One ordinance change recommendation, which would apply to the A7, A6, and A7, which is to treat cellars just like basements and don't count them towards stories. And then a second ordinance change recommendation just for the AH...
Six
zone, thank you, fix that loophole. Fix the height loophole. Someone want to make a motion?
Someone want to make a motion on that?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. The next one is ordinance 1121-118. Excuse me, this is the AH8 affordable housing zone, which is the Henley Farm Estate. So Tom, do you want to give us a little synopsis on that one as well?
Sure. This is located in the Annandale Village area of the township, immediately north of the Annandale train station. I think, as was already mentioned, it is a 150-acre tract. What the township has settled upon is a 400-unit development, specifically because of the very generous affordable housing set-aside of 26%. So, again, the 400 units are going to yield 104 units of affordable housing. The alternative to which is that we would have to include at least one or two other sites and several hundred more units, really, to make up for that. So it just became sort of the logical conclusion that this site made sense. And if you look at it from a gross density perspective, we're talking about 3 units per acre over the whole site. And the way this is going to be developed is that generally the periphery where there's environmental constraints will have or create significant buffers from existing homes and neighborhoods, and the development will take advantage of the existing topography, the infrastructure that's already there. There are already some roadways, and I think some of the drainage is already installed. There's a variety of housing types that are being contemplated, so it won't be one homogeneous development. There may be single family homes, two family homes, multifamily development, townhouses. It's very likely that the affordable component will be included as multifamily units, but again, the goal was to have sort of an integrated and dynamic development that would take advantage of the landscape and would be an asset to the community. And again, one of the reasons that it's being placed here is it's, well, one, it's sheer size, two, it's location next to the train station, it's adjacency to Annandale Village, which for the last century and a half has been the center of this area, has some of the most dense development in the township. And so this development, again, from a gross density perspective, is actually less than you'll see in Annandale from, you know, the total tract. It has adjacency to existing utilities, so it helps to make the project feasible. We're including some design considerations, landscape considerations. So in general, it was the best alternative the township had in order to achieve those 104 units.
Okay, so let me ask you, is that consistent or inconsistent with the housing element and fair share plan?
It's consistent.
Okay, and if the AH8 zone is consistent, your opinion is that ordinance number 1121-18 is entirely consistent with the master plan?
Correct.
And we have, the committee had two recommended ordinance changes for the AH8 zone, correct? The first was, again, excluding cellar from calculating stories. It's going to be for all the AH zones. and increasing the height of single-family homes from 35 feet to 40 feet due to topographic conditions that they have there.
The intent of which was to maintain a respectable roof pitch.
Right, with subject to, but the minimum roof pitch shall be 5 over 12, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to need this language.
Okay, yeah. I want to make sure I get it right.
So do any board members have questions about that last ordinance change? Okay, so does someone want to make a motion to deem ordinance 1121-18 entirely consistent with the master plan with two recommended ordinance changes, that first one excluding the cellar from how you calculate stories, and the second one increasing the height of its single-family homes.
Two-family homes and courtyard singles.
From 35 feet to 40 feet, but subject to a minimum roof pitch of 5 over 12.
I actually have one question on page 3 of the bulk requirements. Part B, the part where the planning board can reduce distances by up to a third if there's an angle of 20 degrees.
Go slow.
It says, upon request, the planning board may reduce the above distances by up to one third if there is an angle of 20 degrees or more between the buildings and if landscaping or buffers are placed between buildings.
That's the distance between structures.
So my question is the and if landscaping or buffers, is that planning board can do it if both of those conditions are met, or is it the planning board can do it if either of those conditions are met, and can we perhaps clarify that?
It's not or.
No, but you can read that also saying the planning board may reduce the above distances by up to a 30%.
Two things have to be present. 20%, if up to one third, they can reduce it up to one third if there's an angle of 20% or more between buildings and if landscaping or buffers are placed between the buildings. So you can't reduce it unless you have an angle of 20% or more and if landscaping or buffers have to be there.
And it's at the discretion of the board.
Yeah, no, right. I found the wording slightly confusing as to whether the planning board can do it without the 20 degrees, but just with landscaping or buffers, which I didn't think was the intent, but I...
Yeah, that's why it's and not or there.
Then I'll make that motion that you just
said
a minute ago.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Scheib. Roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilduff? Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheib?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next up is ordinance number 1122-18. Same thing. This is for the AH5 affordable housing district, which is the Barukia property. Mr. Barons, want to give us the little...
Sure. This site has already received preliminary site plan approval by the board. So I believe they've submitted an application for the HMFA financing, which should be out...
November.
Sure. November. Okay, so we'll know in November. Really, the only change that we've made since that approval was granted was the...
Put it this way. The ordinance has introduced...
Yes.
Has changes in it.
Yes.
We're not proposing any more changes in this one tonight.
Correct.
Okay, so since we're not, the committee's not proposing any more changes than in the one that's introduced.
We're reviewing what the council is before the council.
Correct, against the master plan. So this one's the easiest one of all.
More straightforward.
Right, in your opinion, is ordinance 1122-18 consistent with the master plan?
Very much consistent.
Entirely consistent.
And
again, this one already, the planning board already granted preliminary site plan approval.
So, is there a motion on this one?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheib?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
Motion carries?
Actually, there's a typo.
Okay.
Pages, which, it's irrelevant to the actual content, but
that's all right.
On page 5 for E,
Page 5E.
Buildings with expensive blank walls, plural, are discouraged.
Yep. Walls are plural.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have a request. So that was the conformance back for consistency.
Yep.
Now we have a request for extension of time, T-Mobile Northeast LLC.
Right. Now, I can present this. I'm not presenting on behalf of the applicant. I obviously represent the board. But what the board has done to save time, if an applicant needs an extension such as this, you let it come in without anyone being here. Questions come up. Then you say, okay, we're going to table it and tell the applicant's attorney to come in. This one is very simple. There's a resolution, number 2015-19, that granted conditional use approval and preliminary and final site plan approval for a wireless communication facility, block 13.01, lot 1, which has an address of 1480 Route 22. The property has frontage on Route 22, Petticoat Lane, and Interstate 78, and it's located in the C2 Commercial Zoning District. And in that zone, wireless facilities are conditionally permitted uses in accordance with Ordinance Section 165-113B2. That resolution has a bunch of conditions, as would be expected. And condition 13, the last condition, says two things. First of all, it says the applicant shall obtain construction permits by April 4, 2018, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it says if during the applicant shall further have 1 year from the date of issuance of the first construction permit to commence construction and obtain a permanent CO, which would have been by April 4, 2019.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Now, this is what happened.
Yeah, he has the wrong date now.
Correct. So, I'm going to correct, because I know what the problem is. And I don't want to have them have to come back unnecessarily. In March of 2017, they got the building permit. December 15th of 2017.
Which was within the time frame.
Right, was within the time frame. The permit, they then, in March of 2017, the Monopoles Manufacturers Structural Engineering Company changed the foundation design from a caisson. A caisson is this concrete round thing. You drill a big round hole, you put round rebar in there, and you pour the concrete, you put anchor bolts to, you know, to anchor the tower in, and they switched it from that to a pier and pad design. Put a big concrete pad in, and a big concrete pier, and they switched it to a rock anchor design. As a result, I'm just reading from the letter, but I'm giving a little explanation. As a result, new construction drawings were commenced and a new structural report was ordered. As an aside, we've always had this discussion with new towers, not with swap outs. You know, for final approval, should you make them do a foundation design? You know, the statute says all the details, and the cell companies, they fight that, nah, you know, because we don't know until we do, we get out there in the field and we test. From here, you can really see that they tested, they thought we were doing one, then apparently they must have hit some sort of obstruction or something to make them switch the design, especially to rock anchors, has me thinking that there must have been, wherever this thing was going, there must have been some really big boulders that they didn't want to drill through, and in fact, the boulders were so big that they could probably anchor it into it, but that's just pure conjecture, but it just shows you that whatever's under the ground, you don't know until you... until you get down there. So, they discussed the change with the zoning officer, who correctly instructed that the building permit was null and void due to a change and an approval resolution would be required before they'd give new permits. So they're basically looking, as I understand it, to move out all the dates for a one-year period, and I want to keep it just a little vague for purposes if you guys want to make a motion, because I want to call him tomorrow to find out exactly what date he wants. But the concept is move it out a year or so that they can get around their problem, because you know what the other alternative is.
The other alternative is
they're coming back.
Right, which is always these
from
these,
scratch.
These delays, they're not really a decision, because if you didn't give them a delay,
then the approval becomes void.
The entire thing again, which we've already approved.
Right.
So we're motivated to provide extensions if they're reasonable.
When reasonable, right. So my suggestion is that
Let's put a year or so.
Yeah, make a motion tonight to extend the applicable dates a year or so, and for me to contact him and get the exact date and put it in a resolution, which I'll then draft up, and you'll memorialize with an exact date.
The exact date.
Yeah.
So is there a
motion?
Second. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes, it would be great to get that cow out of there.
Yeah, you might want to explain, after the vote, we can explain that also. Oh.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sommet?
Yes.
Okay, so what the mayor is referring
to... These guys, Frank Ferraro is like a friend of the board. He's been back so many times.
On this...
He's the attorney.
Right.
The cow is a cell tower on wheels.
Cell on wheels.
And it's if you go to the transfer station to drop recycling, you'll see that stupid looking thing
on the other
and
side.
It fell over once in an ice storm besides. So we're anxious to get this
the permanent one out. But not to pat myself on the back, but when that cow came in, they wanted a setback variance from
I-78.
And the board said, well, what happens if the tower falls?
And they said,
the tower never falls. So the board said, denied them the setback variance, made them comply. In fact, not only did they have to comply with the setback variance, made the tower be at least its height away from the road.
And sure enough,
when it fell, no problem, other than the, you know, T-Mobile service was out for a little while.
All right,
good
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, isn't that a good one?
That's a real good one. Oh, my God.
Oh, I haven't
That was a while ago.
That was a long time ago. I remember them fussing about, what do you mean moving it back? These things don't fall.
Right. The famous one is, if they're designed to fall on themselves, which they are designed for a windstorm or an icing condition to fall on themselves. So an unnamed, not Frank Ferraro, said that, not in front of this board, in one of my other boards. And I had, there's a video, if you Google cell tower collapse in Wellesley, Massachusetts, you'll see a doozer. The cell tower caught on fire. And the fire was down in the equipment, and this tower fell at the base.
Didn't fall on itself.
So I've sent that video to all the attorneys representing cell towers, so they can't say that now, or I can say, you're aware, aren't you, about the cell tower that fell in Wellesley? And they're not going to lie. So no one says it anymore, at least in front of my boards.
Next up is the new business approval of vouchers. Denise sent them out. I have reviewed them. I'm okay. Are there any questions from any of the board on those?
Motion.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sommet?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Any reports? Anything from the council you want to share here?
I cheated. I have the agenda, so.
I've got two. I brought this just in case.
Well, we spent about, I don't know, 45 minutes or so talking about the condition of some of our open space parcels that are forested. The deer are eating the young trees and have been for a number of years faster than they can grow. So we're very concerned about the condition of the forest. So We talked about deer hunting in a, gosh, what would I call it, a non-hobby way. You know, the goal there is ecological, and to improve the condition of the forest and set it up so that future generations can enjoy a forest. And we've appointed a subcommittee, two people from Open Space, person from EC, who also supports the idea of hunting the size of the space, supporting the same. Myself and Jesse, and we're going to put together a proposition to probably hunt. It won't be fully formed.
I mean, you're going to cull the deer.
Correct. Correct. And again, the basis isn't for a bunch of good old boys to go out here and shoot guns and kill animals. The real objective here is to ensure that the quality of the forest is improved. So myself, Jess Landon, and members of EC and Open Space will put together a proposition that will be put into ordinance language and presented to council sometime this fall. As it happens, our municipal attorney is also the municipal attorney for Princeton and a number of other towns that have such programs. She's defended these programs in court, et cetera, et cetera. So we're well equipped from a legal counsel perspective to do the right things. There was a professor from RVCC that did the presentation. He did a nice job.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. We've also introduced a bunch of ordinances, so I won't go over the ones that we just touched on. But when the council took over the duties of the Board of Health, we made some changes to the ordinance initially, and we wanted to wait and see about a couple of other stipulations. There were two requirements for septic repairs where the township requirements are twice as strict as the state requirement. And setback from its property line and setbacks from stream corridors. In both cases, every time somebody has come to the plant, to the council rather, for approval, we've approved it. It's very difficult in many cases, particularly in older homes with smaller lots, to respect these 2X variances. So we've introduced basically a repeal of that particular, those two stipulations. And that'll be up on September 12th for a second reading as well. We did adopt two ordinances. One is a wholesale replacement of Chapter 151 of the code, which is the affordable housing chapter.
That's the affordable housing regulations.
Yeah, excuse me, regulations. Soup to nuts update to put fairly ancient language up to the current state. And we also adopted an ordinance revising Section 4-52E of the Code of the Township. And it was principally done to create a category of Class 3 special officers. While we were monkeying around in there, we also fleshed out the language for the other special officer categories. This was a requirement so that we could then recruit and train three special officers that will be providing additional security of the North Hunter. And those folks have been hired and they are in training and we're buying the equipment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we expect them to start sometime not long after the school year begins.
Who pays high school?
Soup to nuts, we own the equipment and but they pay all the salary and
expenses.
And the class threes, there's a maximum number of hours, no benefits,
right.
No pension yet.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
So it's I guess a good program if you feel you need the extra security.
And we hired a new police officer.
Correct. Mr. Ramos.
Yeah.
It was a fairly long meeting, especially with the discussion about hunting, how we would approach it. The basis for it.
Good. Good. Okay. Anything from ordinance subcommittee? No. Open space?
We did meet, but it was really mostly to discuss the council meeting and getting that first meeting of the subcommittee together.
Environmental? No. I did not hear of anything, so. I think that's it. Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Okay, thank you, good evening.
Yeah, I'll get with you tomorrow on that.
Wednesday,
okay.
Oh, appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I figured you look like you need to be here.
In the full store.
Sorry if I misunderstood, but I thought I saw my name in the email about attending. That's why I thought I was here already for the pre-meetings with the people from Headley. And then there was the agenda email.
Yes, yes, yes. You know what? You're right. You're right.
Not a big deal. I was already here.
And you know what? It was, well, you know what? It was questionable. Yeah. And because I knew you were here for the affordable housing meeting, sure. That's why I put you on and but and the ordinances. So
they obviously know what they're going on.
Yeah.
Able
yeah.
to handle everything.
No, but it was my fault to not.
No, please.
Yes, I did respond to
you. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, Manziel is coming back.
Okay, so there's no interviews at this time?
No, no, not yet. Yes, there's going to be another application. I've asked it to Kathy. I'm not sure if you're going to look at that or not.
John, I have to ask you about the seller thing because I thought I'm the only one that's that nerdy about our ordinances.
Okay. I had a bunch of copies that night. Anyway, that's what it is. So we've addressed it some bit. All around.
Oh, okay.
It was a more recent react.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you know.
But I forgot.
There's a strong likelihood that Allison from our office is going to be involved. So she may be getting in touch in terms of whatever changes. I filled her in with regard to the schedule, needing the two versions of the plan. We're collaborating. Well, she may not be presenting, just in terms of developing the plan. I've been a few Eric, whatever his name is, Jackson. I've met him once. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
I think that's the original house. There's got to be a wastewater plan there. They have that above ground basin. I think they
something dramatic has to happen.
They have to do everything because it's inclusionary. They can't
hide without doing but
he's got a tough lawyer. He's waiting for one of the projects to fall off the track.
Him.
So we're not telling him that we caught his loophole. He almost pulled the wool over Tom and my eyes.
Oh, that was it.
Now I'm going to make him pay. Is he wants his other change? Fuck him.
Yeah, well, we all know we can't get past him.
Mm-hmm. You get past him. He did it easy on me early on in my career, and he hasn't done it yet. Now, luckily, this one was caught. But still.
Wow.
This is an attempted doozy.
Oh, you can get out.
This is an attempted doozy.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's not. Yeah, you guys caught it.
But I was going to have to sleep here.
No, no, no. You're never locked in. You just locked out once you come out.
Fair enough. Have a good night.
You too, thanks. John, quick question. Yeah. You know, in meetings, the technical review committee, do they meet like only during before meetings or do they meet other times?
Put it this way.
I left a message for Andrea today, but she didn't get back to me yet.
They try to meet before meetings.
Sometimes they do it over the phone, sometimes it's during the day. Most of the times it's during the day.
Okay, so it's kind of all over the place. And do you know who schedules it? Does the board secretary schedule it? Or?
Yeah, but you know, you should do talk with Ron.
Yeah, I'll give him a call tomorrow.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, he seems, and he's very available too, because he lives nearby and he's retired. Yeah, yeah.
He's like John Higgins. It's the best deal. When they got a retired person, it makes at least the attorney and secretary's job so much easier.
Yeah.
Always someone you can get a hold of.
Exactly. They're available.
All right.
Thanks.